Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to today's Word of Mom Radio here on the Word of Mom Media Network. We're in our author's alley, and I'm excited because, you know, we are here with our shows, you know, day after day, week after week, breaking those myths that mompreneurs and businesswomen are just, you know, dabbling in it in between bake sales and getting our nails done. We're smart, we're savvy, and we are building those bridges and filling the gaps between building a business, raising a family, and finding our why as to what we're going to do to make a difference. And today's guest is no exception. An educator with almost 20 years' experience, Michelle Person is an elementary school principal with the Cleveland Metropolitan School District, a former teacher for Teacher America Corp member, and a KIPP alumni. Michelle is a children's author, a speaker, and provides professional development on increasing student engagement and raising student achievement. She's a member, of the Independent Book Authors and also offers interactive workshops for student groups. In addition to these offerings, Michelle is also able to create custom workshops and presentations for the specific needs of your business and organization. While searching for books for her youngest daughter, she was disappointed in her ability to find diverse characters that her daughter could identify with. So she began writing as a way to fill that void, and Just Like Me Books was born. JLM is a multimedia production and development company that stresses the importance of literacy, cultural relevant reading material, and active learning experiences. Their mission is to promote a love of reading and an increased literacy rate among high-risk readers through an interactive platform that predominantly features characters of color. Research has shown that the more a child can relate to a particular topic or a subject, the more engaged in that activity they are likely to be. This promotes a stronger connection and creates a level of excitement to the content that might not otherwise exist. Just Like Me puts a diverse and engaging array of fiction books in the hands of children. They encourage them to discover and reflect on literature through book clubs and the use of technology to create and share material on their own terms. I love this. So, Michelle, welcome to Word of Mom Radio.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. You know, I would love for you to share your journey. What brought you, you know, I mean, as an educator and becoming a principal and all of these things that you have done to now becoming an author and creating a production company? Share the story.
So I tell two different stories. So the journey into education was one. I remember being a freshman in college and having a friend who we were having a conversation in the student center, and we were both talking about our workloads, and he mentioned something to the effect of, well, you know, and we were talking about how much work we had to do, blah, 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 and he said something to the effect of, well, you know, it's tough, but I guess as somebody who couldn't read until the fifth grade, I feel like I'm doing pretty good. And in that moment, I kind of stopped. I was like, what do you mean you couldn't read until the fifth grade? Who can't read in fifth grade? And he went on to tell me, you know, about the – he was a student from – I went to school in upstate New York to a great institution called Skidmore College. And he was from Manhattan. He went to school in Manhattan in one of the worst schools in the city. And he was – he told me about the overcrowded classrooms and the outdated textbooks and, you know, all the things that, you know, the teachers who didn't teach and, you know, and how he kind of just fell through the cracks because he could make people laugh. And so from there, I kind of started talking to that because that was – not my educational experience. I was very lucky, and my parents sent me to private school at a young age, and then we moved to a suburb, and so my experience was not that. And so I went to, when I was talking to some of my other friends, they echoed very similar experiences. And what I realized there was, you know, education really has the power to make a difference in people's life. And I didn't know exactly what, I had an idea what I wanted to do, but I knew that at some point I wanted to give back. And so I kind of fell into teaching. You know, I joined Teach for America. I was a part of the national, the recognized charter schools, KIPP, which means Knowledge is Power program. And I taught in urban public schools, urban charter schools, you know, you name it. I taught there a couple of different cities. And that's kind of the passion behind the books. And so what happened with the books was, fast forward to many years, I'm an educator. I've gotten my master's degree. I'm a teacher now. And then I became an administrator. And I had my youngest daughter. And my youngest daughter's dad lived, and he still lives, we have a long-distance relationship, he lives like 3 hours away. And he was complaining about, you know, he's not going to know me, and, you know, we're, you know, how are we going to make this work? And she's so little, and she won't be able to know who I am. And I'm like, dude, trust me. She'll know who you are. You're her daddy man. I'm like, you'll be her hero. It'll be great. And as a gift for him, kind of just being facetious, I did the first, you know, Kai and the Daddy Man book. And my brother-in-law, who actually is a librarian, before I gave it to him, I gave it to my brother-in-law to read. And he said, oh, my gosh, this is so cute. He said, and I love that you did this, because there are, you know, there's thousands of books being published every year, and there are very few that have children of color in them. He said, so you're, you know, for Kai to grow up and see herself in a book, that's huge. So that statement, obviously being an educator, I was like, how did I not know that? And I started to do some research, and the statistics are just staggering. I mean, it's the truth. Like, there's a statistic out there that says that a child is more likely to see a talking frog, you know, in a book than they are to see an Asian American character or a Native American character.
Really?
You know, yeah, they are more likely to see talking animals than they are to see characters of color. And so from there, the educator in me just, I couldn't let that happen, like, not on my watch. So what went from being a gift turned into being, well, I've got to write more books. And so I've written four, and five, and the fifth one is being edited right now. I have two different series. I do the Kai and the Daddy Man series, which is just a fun, loving, a book for kids to read with their parents, and kind of humorous. And then I have my Nathaniel English series, which teaches, because obviously the education background, I couldn't write books and not teach something. So I use the Nathaniel English series to teach students about aspects of African-American history that don't always get taught in school. So Martin Luther King was great. Malcolm X was great. Rosa Parks were great. Those were not the only three people that made contributions to Black culture and Black people. So my books purposely look for those heroes that don't always, whose stories don't always get told. And then in the process of that, you know, I met other authors. I believe you should write what you know. That's what I know. I know education, and I know, and I was primarily a teacher of lower elementary students, so I know what lower elementary school, what lower elementary kids read. I know what they like, so I write for that age group. But I don't write science fiction and people like that. I don't write mystery. I don't write, you know, other things like that. So I went out and found authors who do, and that's where Just Like Me books came from. So I have the books that I write, and then I partner with different authors who have a similar mission but who write different genres than I do.
I love that. So what, in this world of children's literature, why are these books so relevant? I mean, I know we're talking about the statistics, you know, but beyond the statistics, you know, in that day-to-day life, why is this so important for
kids?
Well,
I think it's important. I think it's important for a couple different reasons. I think it's important, first of all, it's important to say that for kids, not just kids of color, but for kids who are not from a diverse background. You know, if you look, turn on the news, the media paints a very negative picture of anyone who does not fit, you know, a very generic cookie cutter image. If you don't have, you know, blonde hair and blue eyes, and, you know, and come from a certain patriarchal lineage or whatever, you're either a terrorist, or you're a thug, or you are a violent immigrant, or, you know, you're any number of things. And so and the reality is, so one of the, my roommate in college, we're really good friends to this day. I was the first black person she actually met, let alone lived with. So she had a lot of questions in college that she just didn't know the answers to, and so I answered them for her. But so because she did not have that frame of reference, there were no books, you know, there were no other people. So and a society like ours right now, with everything that you see, children need a frame of reference, and they relate to stories, you know. And if you tell them a story about a character that's different from them, when they there might not be a character like that in their school or in their town, but maybe if they go on vacation, they see a character that reminds them of the one in the book, they're not going to be scared of someone who wears wears a headpiece on their head or dresses differently because they read a book where, oh, I understand what that means because I saw that in a book. And that's just monumentally important in building empathy in our children and building tolerance and promoting a sense of equality just among people in general. The other thing is, with the children that I serve, like I work in the Cleveland Municipal School District, which is a high poverty district, very very urban, and most of our students are of color, black and brown babies. And so for those students, on the flip side, they cannot relate to what we put in front of them in terms of curriculum. I remember when I first started teaching my first year, I was obsessed with Harry Potter. I loved Harry Potter. I wanted my children in Newark, New Jersey to love Harry Potter. They're in fourth grade. That's the age group that Harry Potter is written for. My kids could not read Harry Potter, number one. And number two, they could not relate to a white wizard who lived under a cupboard. It was very hard for them to form any kind of, want to build that excitement in them. There was no connection there. And so when you want to build that excitement about books and you want to take a reader who's a reluctant reader, you can't give them see spot go and expect them to be entertained and expect them to become engulfed in this world of reading that most of us know it to be. They need books that they can relate to, books that that engage them, and books they can see themselves in. So then what I like to tell people all the time is I have an author in my in my network, and she does write fantasy books. She writes them for upper middle grade and lower elementary. So when you take a book that has an air of magic and some mystery to it, and you throw in some elements that a child can relate to, then after they decide they like that type of story, then put Harry Potter in front of them and watch them devour all eight Harry Potter, however many there are. Watch them devour all eight Harry Potter books with a vengeance once you have created that bridge for them. So it's a twofold, that's why it's so important. And that's more than statistics, that's why it's so important.
On that note, we're going to take a quick break and say thank you to our fabulous sponsors. So we will be back with Michelle Person in just a moment here on Word of Mom Radio. And we're back here on Word of Mom Radio. We are talking Just Like Me Books with Michelle Person. I find it, you know, it's my kid, my daughter especially, is an avid reader. And my sons, when they were younger, trying to get them to read, I didn't want to force them to read. So I got sports magazines, you know, things where they could see their favorite sneakers that they liked. I didn't care what they were reading, as long as they mm-hmm. were flipping through things that had words and they were reading in, you mm-hmm. know, and, you know, but again, you know, if they're reading sports and stuff like that, they're seeing people of all different colors and, mm-hmm. and, you know, backgrounds and everything else. My daughter read anything and everything she could get her hands on. I mean, she just, you know, you mentioned Harry Potter. They used to come out in July. And every year, every other year when the new book would come out, she would reread the books leading up to it. And when she would get that book for her birthday, I wouldn't see her for 2 days other than meals. She would just be in her room. Yeah, exactly. And it's, you know, reading is so, it's so important. And everything, every study has shown the earlier you read to your kids and everything else. But it never occurred to me, it really didn't, Michelle, that we don't see, you know, people of color and minorities and things like that. It's such a disparaging, place. And a lot of times, I mean, you know, now that I'm thinking about the things that I've read and stuff like that, those are always the villains, you know, mm-hmm. and the sinister mm-hmm. people and it really is a shame. It mm-hmm. really is a shame that that's where literature, and I mean, this isn't a political show. I don't even want to get into the whole media aspect of it because mm-hmm. what is going on now in this country is just, it's so reprehensible on so many different levels that I keep waiting for Rod Serling to step out and say, you're living in the Twilight Zone. You know, I really do. You know, and sadly it hasn't happened yet, you know, mm-hmm. but I'm going to say that with what you are doing with this and putting together other, you know, writers that are still featuring, you know, a diverse background, but in all different genres is so wonderful. So I have to ask if you had to compare your latest book with what you are working on right now with any book that's out there, which mm-hmm. would it be?
So my latest book is the second Kai and the Daddy Man book. So the first one was The Adventures of Kai and the Daddy Man, and this one is Kai and the Daddy Man, The Adventures Continue. And we just released that actually in June. And I always tell people the Kai and the Daddy Man books are a cross between Junie B. Jones and No David. So if you have a kid who used to like, my kids used to love Junie B. Jones because she took everything very literally and she was always getting into trouble and she was very matter of fact. And for as a parent reading books at night, you know, your kid can get stuck on a book and you have to read the same book over and over and over again. And oh my God, if I reread Nathan Hamm one more time, I'm going to crazy. But Junie B. Jones was like, it was enjoyable for me and for my kids. No David is it's also funny, great pictures, but very simplistic text. So Junie B. Jones is more like a middle reader, maybe like second to third grade when they first kind of get into chapter books. No David is a picture book, definitely pre-K through one, first grade. And so Kai and the Daddy Man is a nice combination of the two. Great pictures, simple story with a funny kid who, you know, gets into everyday scrapes. So that's the best way I can describe it. There are so many other ones in the catalog. Anya, Dream of a Warrior, the one that I said I would use to that reminds me a lot of Harry Potter. I have another series that I don't know if you remember. There was a series of books, obviously back dating myself, but back in the 80s, and you would kind of like the discovery books, and you would read about, there would be a story, but then there would be little bubbles along the way to give you like fast fact. Like they were in a section in the library that were like, they told a small story, but they also gave interesting facts. I have a couple who writes books, and what they do is they write them under the guise of a story, but they give lots of information about Indian culture. And I mean, when I say I've learned so much is by reading these books and being able to say, oh, so that's why they celebrate that particular holiday. I understand what Ramadan is now. And oh, okay, the festival of lights. I get it, Diwali. Like, you know, and they do these pop-up facts in the middle of the book. So, like, you're getting this understanding of the culture while you're reading this enjoyable story. So, you know, that's so all the books, all the authors usually kind of model themselves after a successful book series.
Interesting. I find that very mm-hmm. interesting. So what are you working on now?
So right now I'm working on my next book is going to be another in the Nathaniel English series. And it's going to be the story of the Haitian Revolution, Toussaint Louverture, who was Haiti was actually the first country to get rid of slavery, not because the people got together and said, you know what, this is a bad thing, let's get rid of it, but because, you know, the people actually mobilized and fought back. And so that's my, and I'm actually venturing into chapter book territory, which is new for me because there was so much information, I just could not fit it all into a regular picture book. And then the other thing that we do at Just Like Me Books, you mentioned it in the bio, is we do a lot of different workshops to help parents use the skills. Standardized testing is something that is so huge right now. And you can't go to any state anywhere without people talking about how teachers' pay should be ranked to test scores and whether or not a student should have to pass a test to go on to the next grade. The other thing that I do is, like you were talking about, what your kids used to read and how you just put books in front of them that were magazines, so like maybe they weren't books, but you were just happy they were reading. So one of the other things that I do is in my prepared workshops for parents and kids to go together to learn different reading strategies and be able to tackle those standardized tests without fear, and also give parents tools where they can help support the learning that's going on in the home or at the classroom at home. And one of the things we talk about actually when you were making that comment is that it doesn't matter what they're reading. If they want to read a comic book, let them read the comic book. If all they will read are Sports Illustrated articles, that is okay. What matters is their reading. If they want to read the same book like your daughter did over and over again, that's even better. Like, as tired as I am personally in my own life of Green Eggs and Ham, but I know that by reading it 7 million times every day, my daughter is learning rhyming, and she finishes the sentences, and she's learning fluency and what good expression sounds like when she says the parts that she likes. And that comes from repeated readings. And those kinds of things, those kind of skills are what we kind of share with parents in our workshops. So we are, always adding new workshops for school and community organizations, and we are always adding new books.
You know, I have to say, it really is true, because my sons who never liked to read, like I said, other than their magazines, my middle son, you know, was speech delayed, so getting him to read was really tough because everything hadn't been, you know. That is my kid I gave a Kindle to, I can't even think how many years ago, never goes anywhere without it. He's my one with a college degree and stuff, married, blah, 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 but never goes anywhere, always is reading a book. You know, it doesn't matter how you get your kids to read. But teaching them to read, it gives them a whole other world and a whole other world of expression. And I absolutely love it. And I love that you are doing this. And as we're closing out this conversation, Michelle, I want to ask, what advice do you have for other would-be authors?
So the biggest piece of advice that I can give to any author, first off, is just write. People always say, I have this great idea, but I don't know how to just write. Just get started. That's number one. That's the easy part. The second part that's been really, really great for me, and I always tell people this, I guarantee you, if you Google on your, you know, on Google and your area libraries, writers groups that meet at the library probably once a month, where people, you know, bring in what they're working on and you share it and then you all critique it. And when I say, you know, the traditional publishing route is kind of rough, and when you finally get an editor, they take your work and they tear it apart and they give it back to you, and you're looking all sad and you're crying because your beautiful manuscript has all these red lines through it, and it's torn, you know. But in this, it's a safe space, and you get to hear other feedback, and it really helps you polish your ideas. So if you are just write. And once you do write, share your writing with other people, like-minded people. And not your mom. Your mom is great. Not your cousin, you know, who loves you and who borrowed $20 from you, so of course they're going to tell you that you wrote a great piece. Find some independent people who will give you some really good feedback and will push you. And that will kind of propel you on the rest of your journey. So write and find a writing group. Those would be my two pieces of advice.
Thank you so much, Michelle. Let everyone know how they can find you, please.
So I am all over the place. I'm on Twitter. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. The website is readjustlikeme.com, www.readjustlikeme.com. Just spell it out. On Facebook, we are Read Just Like Me. On Instagram, we are Just Like Me Books, and on Twitter, we are actually Read Just Like Me. So Read Just Like Me will pretty much get you, will get you us pretty much on every location, the website, the Facebook, and the Twitter, and then Instagram is Just Like Me Books.
I thank you so much for taking the time to share with us today here on Word of Mom Radio, and keep writing those books, keep making the difference, and keep letting our kids know that all of them are important. You know,
Thank you so much. I
really do. I thank you for your work. So for all of us here at Word of Mom Radio on the Word of Mom Media Network, this is Dori DiCarlo saying thanks so much for tuning in. We're going to close out with Smith Sisters Bluegrass and our theme song, She Is You. So until next time, go out and create a marvelous you. Bye for now.